verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And is my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of, if you can believe it, your God can do it. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the rich and real presence of the Holy Spirit we felt through the worship service. And Lord, I'm asking you now, as the man did so many thousands of years ago, help our unbelief. Increase our faith today. Help us to believe you, Lord, more than we have ever believed you before. To believe not only the general promises of your word, which are wonderful and beyond our comprehension, but Lord, in the specific areas of our lives right now, we need to believe you. Lord, those situations that seem like we have no solution for. Lord, the lost loved ones that our hearts are breaking for. Lord, you can do anything. Hallelujah. You can do anything. And Lord, help us to believe you today. And Lord, take this simple message I'm going to attempt to bring. Let me be your mouthpiece and use it for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ and to make it a blessing to your people. And I'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. This story of this Roman centurion is so amazing to me in the fact that if you study the Word of God, you'll find that there are only two times recorded in the Word of God where it says Jesus marveled. Now, I want you to think for just a moment and put in context who we're talking about here. This is the Son of God in human form. And there's only two times in the Word of God where it says he marveled. And this text we read this morning is one of those times. And the word marveled literally means stood astonished at. Now, that I don't know what that does to you, but that really grips me to think that anything would astonish the Son of God. But it's a great blessing to me when we look at what astonished him in this text that we read this morning. It was faith. It was faith that he marveled at. To put this story in its proper context, and it's really a story of the authority of the Son of God to do anything. I want to take you back to the invention of what was called the Greek phalanx. It was a military tactic that was developed by Alexander the Great, in which he won so many great battles. It was also adopted by the Roman army in a revised form that made this military technique even more effective. The basic idea of the phalanx attack was that you would line up soldiers, about 10 across and sometimes up to 50 or 100 deep, and you would march straight into the enemy, right into the middle of the enemy ranks, and fight your way through the ranks, and then have the phalanx divide and encircle and fight its way around the enemy. It was a very effective and brilliant military technique employed by Alexander the Great. The Roman army perfected it even more, and they perfected a maneuver that was almost a double phalanx maneuver, and that after they had divided the army and then encircled it, they would yet go through in a smaller rank and divide and attack each side of the army that they had just divided. It was an incredibly effective and brilliant military technique. But for this technique to work properly, for this military strategy to be employed, the soldiers had to be trained in such a way that they would not question any order they received, whether it made sense to them or not. For this technique to work, and it did work brilliantly in so many battles of old, the soldiers had to be trained and be convinced that their military leaders knew exactly what they were doing. And even if it made no sense to the rank and file soldier, he had to respond without question, because rapidity and speed was also a part of making the phalanx military strategy so effective. So the soldiers of the Roman army of the day that we just read about from Scripture were trained that way. A centurion was over 100 of these soldiers, and these soldiers were crack military men. And that when the order was given, whatever it was, they did it without question. They didn't even think, is it right or wrong? They did it instantly. And it taught the Roman soldiers authority. It taught the leaders what authority they possessed over their soldiers, and that it was to never be abused or misused. They had to have the love of their soldiers at their heart. And those soldiers trusting their leaders, knowing they're not going to tell us to do anything that's wrong. We'll do whatever they say. And as this Roman centurion approached the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Luke chapter 7 that the Jews had already recommended him and spoke well of him to Jesus. And that in Luke 7 we're told that he had assisted in building a synagogue for the Jews. So this centurion, somehow, we're not told, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, but somehow he already had a heart for God. And he had heard, no doubt, about this carpenter from Galilee who had raised the dead and opened the blinded eyes and healed all manner of sickness. And as we set this scene, Jesus has just completed what would come to be known as his Sermon on the Mount, where he spoke so profoundly to the multitudes. And immediately in Matthew chapter 8, after he descends from the mountain and his brilliant sermon there, he finds a leper. In the first verses 1 through 4 of Matthew 8, he finds a leper who comes running to him. I don't know about you, but if you study leprosy in the Bible and how the leper had to live, it's such a beautiful picture of our salvation. Because a leper would have to live separate from even his own family. He couldn't touch anyone, couldn't come within 50 feet of anybody. And if he did start to come within a 50 feet parameter of any other human being, he would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. But this leper that met Jesus broke that law as he came running to him and asked him and said, will you heal me? I'm going to jump ahead of myself here for a minute because I feel the Holy Ghost. There's something about faith that draws the heart of God. Anybody who'll believe him, he draws near to that faith of that individual. That's the greatest lesson this story can teach us, is that when we believe God, our faith in him and in his ability and of what he said, it draws him near to us. That's why Jesus marveled when he saw the faith of this Roman centurion. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't know what you might be facing personally, but the Holy Spirit wants you to know this. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, God is nigh unto you. God is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is at work right now in every area of your life. As the song they sang this morning so beautifully says, he already sees your victory. He's already got your victory parade planned. He's already got your answer on the way. Hallelujah. And it's because of your belief in him. And this leper who wasn't supposed to come near even within 50 feet of any other human runs and throws himself at the feet of Jesus. Man, you just got to love Jesus when you read these stories in the Bible about him. They just touch my heart in such a special way. And that, you know, if this leper was in most of our churches, let's put it in the modern vernacular for a minute. There would have been crowds of ushers running in front of him to stop him. You can't go near him. You're breaking the law. Matter of fact, you're breaking the law even being near to any of us. Get away, get away. But even though he broke the Old Testament law, there's no rebuke from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus saw his faith. Oh my. Your faith is the most important commodity in your life. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Your belief in Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in your life. There is nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful in our lives than the faith we place in Jesus Christ and what he did for us at the cross. But he doesn't rebuke this leper. The leper cries out, I know you can heal me if you will. And without hesitation, the Lord of glory says, I'll do it. I'll do it. Praise God. Praise God. Do you feel that this morning? I do. Some of you need to hear that. You've been asking him for something. You've been believing him for something. And he's telling you, I believe right now as I'm preaching this message, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do what nobody else can do for you because I love you. Your faith places you under my authority, and I love you. And because you believe me and you trust me, I will give you what you're asking me for. Somebody give him a hand of praise today. Glory to God, I feel that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And instantly, this leper is cleansed. And Jesus tells him, just as a testimony, go and give the gift of Moses at the temple, which was two turtle doves. And what the procedure that went through when that leper was cleansed was beautiful. It's found in the Old Testament in Leviticus. He would have to take two turtle doves to the priest. The priest would take one of those turtle doves, and he would take that little turtle dove by its neck. This is an ugly scene. And he would wring that neck off of it under running water. You say, that's ugly. God wanted to teach the high price and the horror of sin and its penalty. And he would wring the neck of that first bird all right off under running water because it was a sacrifice. But then the priest would take the second bird, bound it with, he would have to wrap a scarlet thread and hyssop around the leg of that bird. And then the live bird he would take and cast it into the air and let it fly away. What are you seeing a picture of there? You're seeing a picture of the first bird of Jesus Christ's death at Calvary and him being a sacrifice for us. But in the bird that's thrown away, you're seeing the removal of sin, glory to God. That sin is removed and cast away, never to be remembered against us anymore. And we are now children of the Most High King, standing clean and holy and righteous before him because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then after the second turtle dove was set free, the priest would inspect carefully the leper that had been cleansed. And he would find him clean, and then he would turn to the entire community, and he would shout, "Clean, clean, clean." Hallelujah. Three times for a thrice holy God. Clean, clean, clean. Can you imagine how this leper must have felt that Jesus cleansed that day when he walked into the temple with his sacrifice? And after years of having to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," now the leper, watch this, watch this. Hallelujah. It wasn't the leper who declared himself clean. It was the high priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a high priest in Jesus Christ who has made us clean and taken away our sin. And when we place our faith and trust in what he did at the cross, heaven stands up and he marches in before the throne of Almighty God and calls out your name and says, "Clean, clean, clean." Give him praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. My Lord, it's enough to make one of these benches shout. Glory to God. But as if that wasn't enough, immediately after this dramatic healing of this leper, here comes a Roman centurion. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit engineered it this way for a good reason. You have two classes of people here that shouldn't have even been able to get near Jesus. First of all, a leper. Secondly, a Gentile. Neither one should have even been able to get near Jesus. But faith draws Jesus near. They both had faith. And that draws Jesus near. And the centurion came to him. And he said, "My servant is sick of the palsy." And as we learn from Luke chapter 7, the Jews had already mentioned to Jesus about this Roman centurion and said, "He's a good man. He's sympathetic to the Jewish people. He's even helped build us a temple." But as wonderful as those things were, our works gain us no position or no right standing with God. It's our faith. It's our faith alone. That's why I can't overstress it this morning. Your faith is the most important commodity in your life. It's more important than your family, your job, anything. Because with faith, and of course we're speaking of proper faith here this morning, with faith, all things are possible. Anything can change in a moment's notice. And this centurion has heard about Jesus, and he comes to him. And it shows you the love in this centurion's heart for those that are under his authority. He said, "I've got a servant sick." He was not even approaching Jesus for himself or any of his family. The Roman centurions were very wealthy men. They were paid quite well by the Roman army for participating and training their troops in such a way that there would be no question at all when it came time to fight. Those troops would do exactly what that centurion said. And he grasped, that centurion did grasp, this concept of authority. When Jesus said, "All power under heaven and earth is given unto me," he meant exactly what he said. And this centurion had seen, due to the miracles of Jesus, that he had the authority. That he was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. And he had complete and total authority over every sickness, every malady, and every human perplexity. And he comes to Jesus as a Gentile. And even worse than a Gentile, he was in the Roman army. The army that was really persecuting the Jews at that time and holding them under bondage. And Jesus doesn't rebuke him at all. Faith draws him near. If you don't remember anything else you've heard today, please remember this. Your faith keeps Jesus near to you. You may not always feel him there, but that's what makes it faith. You have to believe that his promise and his word is true. And if you'll believe that, he will respond in such beautiful and marvelous ways to us That's why I say today, Lord, help our unbelief. Help us, Lord. We get, you know, if you're like me this week, hadn't this been a horrible week? I mean, as far as what's going on in the world. I mean, it's been shown clearly, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Our president is clearly a Muslim. I mean, to me, if you can't see that, then you're just blind. I don't care what his staff says about him being a Christian and praying. When you stand and you speak that we're not at war with Islam, you're either a total fool or a liar, because we are at war with Islam. And he's very sympathetic to that Islamic cause. You know, that guy that wanted to burn the Korans. Now, that was kind of wacky. It was kind of far out. It was a publicity stunt. But let me tell you this. In a small way, I'm kind of glad he did it. Because had somebody wanted to burn that many Bibles in the media, you wouldn't have heard one word about it. Had it been Bibles he wanted to burn, you wouldn't have heard one word about it from the media. But because it was the devilish, demonized writings of a pedophile by the name of Muhammad, this world loves it. And they rose up in anger. But he did show how evil the Muslims are. Why is it they're taking Bibles away from our soldiers in their countries? You hear me? American soldiers are not allowed to have Bibles in Iraq because they've gathered them all up because of their belief in Islam. Now think of that. Yet even the mention of some small little pastor wanting to burn about 10 or 12 of their Qurans reaches around the world and they're ready to kill and run to the streets shouting death to America. America is believing a lie right now. America has been seduced right now by the powers of darkness. But what I want to bring to you this morning and hammer it home is don't worry about that junk. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is drawn nigh unto you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'd rather have him standing next to me as Obama, anybody in Washington, D.C., Glenn Beck, whoever you want to name. Like that old song says, take this whole world, give me Jesus. Amen? Amen? Because my, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because I know my Jesus loves me. I know he went to the cross for me. I've served him long enough to know he's going to do nothing but good by me. Even when I've done wrong, he's treated me right. Hallelujah. And this centurion grasped who he is. You know, faith is not only believing in literally the existence of Jesus Christ. A large portion of faith is believing in his authority and that he can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with Jesus Christ. In the coming days, I believe in the United States of America, you're going to see our financial system further crumble. But I'm going to tell you this, child of God. Our faith draws Jesus near to us, and our Jesus owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't believe we'll miss a meal. It won't hurt me anyway to miss a few more. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, I've been taking off the pounds. Anybody notice? Look here, I'm having to wear these suspenders now to hold these pants up today. And this one's broke and keeps popping off, so y'all need to pray and exhibit faith. It could get ugly before this service is over. Lord, I pray my suspenders fail not. But this centurion grasped who he was. Not only who he was, but he had faith in his authority. That not only is he the Son of God, he also has the authority and the ability to do what I need him to do. He said, Lord, my servant is tormented and sick of the palsy. Will you heal him? Will you heal him? Faith. And there's no hesitation recorded by the Holy Spirit. Here this is a Gentile Roman soldier. I'm here to tell you, It don't matter your color. It don't matter what you do or what you have done. If you'll come to him and you'll believe and trust him, he'll come near to you. And he said, Lord, or Jesus turned to him. He said, yeah, I'll come healing. No hesitation. But then that Roman centurion responded with such phenomenal faith. And he said, Lord, I'm a man of authority. I have soldiers under me, and I tell them to do this, and they do it without question. I have servants under me, and I tell them, come, and they're immediately there. He was telling Jesus, I understand your authority. Not only do I understand who you are in your physical presence in front of me, I further understand your power and your authority. Because I have an element of power and authority. But what little bit I have is no comparison to what resides in you. And the Bible tells us at this point, one of two times, the Lord of glory, think of this. Think of who we're talking about here for just a minute. The Lord of glory marvels. He looks upon his faith with such admiration and respect. He's never seen any faith like this. In his earthly ministry, this is the only time you find Jesus making a statement like this. Where he said, I've never seen this kind of faith before. Coming from a Roman centurion who is a Gentile. I don't care who you are. If you're believing, he'll help you. If you'll just believe him, he'll help you out. He'll deliver you from drugs. He'll change your life. He'll set you free from demonic influences. He'll clean you up. Hallelujah. He can do it. He can do it. The Bible declares in Hebrews 13:9, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. He hasn't changed at all. And he marvels at the faith of this Roman centurion. As the Roman centurion tells him, if you'll just speak the word, you don't have to come because I understand your authority. Praise God. Praise God. Do you see why I'm trying to bring to you this morning? Your faith is the most important aspect of your life. Because I don't care how bad it looks for your lost loved one. If you'll keep believing him, Jesus is going to set him free. He's going to save him. Hallelujah. If you'll just keep on believing him. I don't care how deep into some hell hole they may go. I was telling somebody in this church, and I know what I'm talking about. This gospel that we preach, it's powerful. It's powerful. Humans can't run from it. What you've heard clearly expounded the message of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. It is the most powerful message this world has or ever will hear. And they can't run from that. I'm here to tell you, if you've told them or they've heard it in this church about Christ and him crucified, they cannot run from that. It will haunt them like a specter in the midnight hours at 2 and 3 in the morning. The Holy Ghost will be there telling them, you know the truth. You know how your living is wrong. You know that Jesus Christ is real. You know that what he did for you on the cross is the only thing that will set you free from this horrible bondage of sin that you're under. I remember so many times in the far-flung corners of the world when I was on a flight crew in the Air Force. At 2 and 3 in the morning, one time I remember particularly in Sigonella, Italy. I was drunk beyond comprehension in a bar. I mean, man, it was down underground. You talk about a decrepit place. Well, all bars are. Some may look prettier external than others, but they're all decrepit places. I mean, you had to go down steps to get in this dark hole, and this bar was actually underground. I mean, it was dark, and I was probably glad it was dark. They probably didn't wash the glasses. They probably just kept handing it. I don't know. It was ugly. And we'd gone down there at about 10 o'clock at night, and now it was 2 in the morning. And I remember I was sitting in that corner, and it was almost pitch black in there, just a few little candles on the tables. And I know somebody had to be praying for me at that time, because drunk out of my mind, I drank so much tequila that we was down to that worm part in it, you know, where you I never did that, but I was blasted. Let me just put it that way. I was drunk out of my mind. And sitting there in that dark corner in Sigonella, Italy, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost hit me. And I was drunk. And he started speaking to my spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit could supersede the physical realm. He deals in the realm of the spirit. And he started to speak to me. And he said, "What on earth are you doing here? You know all about Jesus. You know how much he loves you. Why are you rebelling so against him when you know his call is on your life?" And man, they thought I'd lost my mind. Well, really, they thought I was just on a crying drunk, as truthfully be told. They knew something, you know, it was pretty crazy, because I was sitting there in the corner bawling my eyes out in Sigonella, Italy. And I was kind of glad I blamed it on that, because I was too prideful to admit what I was really crying about. I said, "Yeah, I just miss home, that's all. I just want to go home." Because I didn't want them to know what was really going on the inside of me. I'm telling you that to tell you, this message is too powerful. Once somebody's heard it, they can't run from it. They'll never forget it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will keep reminding them of it. You may think, "Well, I've got to remind them of it, or I failed in presenting it, or I didn't say this right or say that right because they didn't come to Jesus." Uh-uh. If they heard that Jesus Christ loves them and went to the cross for them and shed his blood for their sin so that they could be right with God, the Holy Ghost will take that and he will haunt them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with that knowledge. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. This Roman centurion realized that in Jesus, what power he had. And he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy if you'd even come to my house." He was humbly admitting, "I'm a Gentile. You're a Jew, and not only are you a Jew, you're the Son of God. And you have all authority. I'm not worthy if you'd even come in under my roof. Would you just speak the word?" And Jesus marveled and said, "I have not seen so great a faith, not in Israel." In other words, you know, he never traveled more than about 30 miles from his home. So the statement in context, he was saying, "I've never seen this kind of faith in anyone before." And it so drew him near, and watch it. Then he speaks the word. He said, "He's healed." And the centurion gets back home, and he said, "Hey, about 30 minutes ago, this palsy went away. This servant stopped shaking. He stood up, asked us to make him some unleavened bread and some victuals and some lamb. And he's doing fine now." Hallelujah. Praise God. God is no respecter of persons. Let me say it better than that. God is no respecter of faith. If your faith is right, he'll draw near to you. And what he's done for one, he'll do for all. Somebody give him a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Monique, it is so good to have you here today. I love to hear her shout. Because it's so full of joy, ain't it? Don't it bless you? Help me preach in ways you don't even know, Monique. Just to hear that, hallelujah, like she's doing now, do it, Monique. Shout it for us. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the cry of victory, glory to God. That's faith. That's faith. Do you feel it drawing Jesus near right now? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet, saints of God? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. I'm not even halfway through this message today, but the Holy Spirit is saying, "Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Holy Ghost of God. This service is yours." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Have your way today, Holy Spirit of God. Have your way today, Holy Spirit of God. Speak to us now. Lord, give us the interpretation of what you're wanting to say today. Use whom you will, Lord. But we pray humbly that you would speak to us and give us the interpretation. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, Holy Ghost of God. This is yours. This is yours. We need to hear from you today. Be sensitive to him right now and let him use you if he wants to give us the interpretation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your blessed way, Spirit of God. Have your blessed way, Spirit of God. We're going to wait on you, Lord. Have your way. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, what a message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Saints of God, let's gather around the altar. It's time. He's calling us. It's time to believe him. I want you to come and present yourselves at the altar of God this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us today. Thank you for the beautiful, loving message that you've sent forth today. Have your way, Holy Spirit, at this altar service. You know what your people need, and it's only our desire to let you move and have your blessed way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before we move on to another portion of the altar service, I just feel the Holy Spirit strongly impressing me to give these instructions. Sometimes as we live this Christian experience, every one of us, we don't want to, but we fail God. We fail God. We commit a sin or do something we ought not to do. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know before we go to this next portion of the altar service, as long as you keep getting up in faith believing and saying, Lord, wash me of that sin. Forgive me of it. You are completely and totally restored, and you have lost no position at all with him. The Holy Spirit wants several people to know that this morning. Your faith in him and his precious shed blood, just like with the leper and just like with the Roman centurion, has drawn him and kept him near to you. And he's proven to you today, I think through the Spirit, he's already spoken to several hearts and shown you, I'm still with you, my child. That beautiful message that was given out. I love you. Draw nigh to me. And how do we do that? By placing our faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. That draws us nigh to God. That draws God nigh to us. Praise his holy name. Some of you this morning, you've gone through some tough times. Maybe you're going through a tough time right now. I know several of you, I'm not going to try and act like I'm, you know, some spiritual guru. I know several of you have lost family members that have broken your heart in two with them not living for God. But in the situations that are on my mind right now, in every one of those situations, they've heard this gospel. They've heard this gospel, believing to save them. Believing to save him. He wants to do this. He wants to do this. Don't give up hope. There's no case too hard. I don't care where they're at or how they're living right now. The Holy Ghost will follow them to the very gate of hell to get them to turn around. And he won't quit. He won't quit, so don't you quit. Don't you give up right now. At this altar call today, believe him to save that lost loved one. Keep on believing him to save that lost loved one. Secondly, there are others of you who, this I believe the Holy Spirit has given me. You're so worried about the future and what it's going to hold. And Satan has tried to put a spirit of fear on you about what's coming down the road. It does not matter one iota what's coming down the road in this world. It matters immensely what's coming down the road spiritually. Austin asked me last night as we were talking before he went to bed. He said, Dad, he said, it scares me. He listens to me when I'm preaching. He said, Dad, you said that you thought President Obama might be one to help usher in the Antichrist. I said, yes, I did. I believe he's being used for that very purpose right now. He said, well, he's just got 2 years left of his presidency. He said, do you think the rapture could happen in the next 2 years? And I said, absolutely, Austin. Church, don't focus on this whole world. Like the song says, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm not planning on drawing Social Security. Amen? I ain't planning on it. I ain't planning on retiring in the natural realm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I heard Brother Swaggart say it this week, and they were playing a crusade from the 80s on there. He was preaching in Canada. He was preaching on the rapture. He said, Canada is getting ready to lose some of its best citizens. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, Springfield is getting ready to lose some of its best citizens. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. He's soon to appear in the clouds in great glory. Hallelujah. That's your future. That's your future. Don't worry about your future here on planet Earth. Our future is with Jesus Christ and is held in the hand of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Now I've said that. Let's move on to what the crux of what the Holy Spirit wants at this altar service. He wants us to believe Him. He wants us to believe Him. The message the Holy Spirit spoke. Monique and Mahari, thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. It blessed us all. He said, I love you. He said, I love you, my child. My Lord, that in and of itself just ought to make us want to do flip-flops. Praise God. To have the Holy Spirit send us a message from the throne of God that says, I love you, my child. And he said, draw near to me. Put your faith in me. Man, faith is the victory. As the Bible tells us, faith is the victory. I don't care what your physical state this morning, you are not defeated if your faith is in Jesus Christ. You are not a sinner if your faith is in Jesus Christ. There's not one ounce of dirt on you from God's perspective in any capacity if your faith is in Jesus Christ. But in your specific situation, some of you may be believing for a job. Some of you may need a promotion. Whatever it is you need, this morning at this altar service, believe Him for it. Just believe. He's no respecter of persons. And the Bible tells us He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. But, Pastor, you don't know. I don't care. I'm trying to get you out of looking at your situation this morning and get you looking to Him. As long as you keep saying, but, He said, I can do all things. Right. I can do all things. To him that believeth, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Right now, I feel a heavy presence of the Holy Spirit. I want you all to stretch forth your hands toward Michelle right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, her heart has been heavy. Let the Holy Spirit give her the assurance right now that her prayer has been heard and answers are on the way. That her victory is assured and she will see the manifestation of her prayers. Lord, enlighten that load and give her peace this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Stretch forth your hands here toward Monique. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, We come to you today, and I just ask you to speak your great peace to Monique, Lord. Lord, give her an assurance beyond assurance that she is your child. Hallelujah. And that you love her. And that you will perform exceedingly abundantly above what she's been asking or believing you for. Honor her faith, Lord. I know you're going to. It's drawing you near to her today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. My brother, I forget your name. Ed, would you come here? Can we pray for you, Ed? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I ask you to give my brother Ed spiritual clarity. Lord, I ask you to renew his spirit. And Lord, show him, give him a revelation. Just like you did the Roman centurion, of what authority you have and how much you love him. And how, if he'll just believe you, you're going to work marvelously in his life. You're going to honor his faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now for everyone else, would you lift your hands? Whenever God moves on me to pray for somebody like I have these individuals, I'm always fearful of the fact that people, and I've heard it said, and I used to believe this way, and it's a wrong way to believe. I used to think, well, if he'll just call me out, then I'll know that God's heard me. No. Don't believe that. It's your faith in God, not your faith in me calling you out. Okay? Put your faith in Jesus Christ right now. Not on some poor, pitiful preacher who's just as messed up as anybody else is to lay a hand on you. Jesus Christ himself, the high priest of heaven, the one who has pronounced you clean in the portals of glory, will lay his hand on you. Hallelujah! Whatever it is, believe him big right now. Believe him big for it right now. Whatever it is, only you know between you and the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do it. There is faith in this house today. You're going to see some answers to your prayers. Because faith draws you near. Let's pray together. Now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've seen from your word, which cannot lie today, what faith does and what faith can do. Faith in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're just like the leper and we're just like the Roman centurion. We don't deserve your touch in and of ourselves at all. But your precious blood, because of our faith in you, has made us clean and has made us free from the law of sin and death. And right now, as we cry out to you about our individual situations, tell him right now, whatever it is, and believe him. It's not too big for him to do. It's not too hard for him to do. Just believe him. That's all he's asking us for this morning. Just believe. Lord, I cry out to you for this church to use it in a greater way, to touch this community with the gospel. Lord, I thank you for Sunlight Broadcasting Network, which is going to help promote this message in this area and identify us, Lord, as a tributary of that great message. Bless Brother Swaggart and that ministry, Lord, and everyone affiliated with it. Bless our church, Lord. Help us, Lord, through this powerful medium to get this message of Christ and him crucified out there. Lord, I thank you that you've raised us up and that you've raised up Sunlight Broadcasting Network and that it's not entertainment, it's the gospel. It's the preaching and the ministry of the gospel. And Lord, use us in a greater way in this church. I'm believing you for a harvest of souls, Lord, like we've never seen before, to roll into the kingdom of God. And Lord, I know you're going to lead and guide this church. And Lord, for everyone who has their individual, personal situation they prayed for this morning, I sense in my heart the affirmation of the Holy Spirit already, that he has affirmed to their spirit the words that Jesus spoke to the Roman centurion. I'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll do it. The same words you spoke to the leper. I'll do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And only you, Holy Spirit, can give that affirmation. And I sense you've done it. Now let us set back and keep on believing and watch your mighty hand at work. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, not just for hype, that just like the Roman centurion, before the end of this day, there's going to be some people that you've answered their prayer right now at this second in time, and they're going to get home later or later on today or maybe even in the morning, and they're going to find out that their answer came in that situation at about this time today. Just like from your word. For your word shows us what you will do and what you can do. And Lord, I thank you for the service today. I thank you for the authority that you have. I thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have operated. I thank you for the presence of Jesus Christ. But may we ever know it's been our faith that's drawn you near to us, Lord, nothing else. We don't deserve it, Lord. But it's our faith in you that allows you to draw nigh to us and us to draw nigh to you. May we never forget the power of that faith. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad we know the truth? I've been so grateful this week as I've been able to, I've prayed for this for years. I mean, especially over the last 6 months. And I didn't know until I shared with you, I think, about a month and a half back, that Sun Life Broadcasting was getting ready to expand the way they did. Because I would tune in the junk that's on TBN and Daystar, and it's all junk. I'm sorry, you can get mad at me if you want to. It's junk. It's not the gospel. It's Hollywood. It's entertainment. And the Holy Spirit's not even associated with any way. And I need, I'm human just like you all. I think, you know, and I can't live down at camp meeting, you know, and I'd say, oh, Lord. And I couldn't pick up Sun Life Radio, you know, which I need fed too, folks. I'm just like you all. And I prayed and asked God, God, if there was a way for me to be able to have raise up a Christian station that would broadcast the gospel again. Like Christian, remember years ago, Christian TV? Well, they really used to preach the gospel. You could tune in almost 24-7 and you'd get good gospel singing that would lift your soul, or you'd get somebody teaching or preaching. I don't know where we started getting the idea a talk show was God's format to help people out. But that's most of what other, but man, this week as I've been able to, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, flick on that TV and hear Brother Jimmy or Brother Lauren or Brother Donnie or Brother Martinez or whoever might be ministering. Man, what a blessing it's been to me. You've probably seen a difference in my spirit today. Because of the way I've been having to work, I ain't had a lot of time to get it anywhere else. But my Lord, what a blessing, church. And we're a part of that. I want you to know that. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And I believe we're going to be a bigger part of it. Of God using that ministry and us being a tributary of that ministry to spread this great message of Christ and Him crucified. Avail yourself of that opportunity. You'll be blessed, I guarantee you. I'll guarantee old Linda here, she got, I don't mean old, I mean I'm saying, I didn't mean in this, I was speaking clearly in a vernacular. Okay, Bonnie's motioning at me, move on. It's, honey, it's just now noon, I've done real good today. We got a whole other hour yet if I need it. No. She called in this week, I heard, and you heard it? Okay, praise God, wish I'd have heard it, Linda. But avail yourself of that ministry. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a great, great bolstering of to the local church and what we're doing here. And I want to make you aware of it. Use it. Use it. Hadn't it been good to be in God's house today? I don't know about you all. I feel a whole lot better. I feel a whole lot better. Monique, it's been so good to have you with us today. You've been such an addition and blessing to the service. Come dismiss us in prayer, would you?